So on this Communion Sunday, as we continue with our Lenten theme of watch and pray, we're going to focus on the prayer of great thanksgiving, the table prayer, which is the main prayer that we say in the middle of our communion service. So for praying this prayer, the great thanksgiving, it places us right in the middle of the recitation of the sacred history. And we, by doing so, we become a part of the story. From the creation to Jesus' ministry to the great banquet to come. And we find our place at the table with all those who have been invited by Jesus. And as you recall your Bible story, some of those were kind of surprising and interesting characters. And we get to join them. That might mean that we're surprising and interesting characters too. And what we do is we get to celebrate this radical message of love and grace and justice, which is inherent in this great prayer, this ritual prayer, which is at the heart of our Christianity. Now, we know communion by many names. Communion, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. I like the word the Eucharist. To me, it speaks, it comes from the Greek word, which means thanksgiving. And it is a thanksgiving. It reminds us that the sacrament is a thanksgiving to God for the gifts of creation, the gifts of salvation. And it's as early as the Emmaus experience on the very day of the resurrection itself that's related to us in Luke 24. Christians have recognized Jesus. They've recognized the presence of the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. And it was a traditional Jewish practice. We just heard in Luke chapter 22 that they take the bread, they bless the bread. They thank God, then they break it and share it. And in that Jewish practice of the Passover there, the early Christians saw a new meaning for them in that. You know, when the followers of Jesus gathered in his name, they broke the bread, the breaking of the bread, the sharing of the cup were a means of remembering his life and his death and his resurrection. It was a means of encountering the living Christ. And so communion, the Eucharist, is part of the liturgy, is part of our worship. The whole liturgy is the whole of worship. The word liturgy comes from the Greek liturgia, which can simply be translated as the work of the people. It's probably the best, the easiest translation of that. And originally, the Greek word meant it's an action by which a group of people become something corporately that they are not as mere individuals. So it's the whole is greater than the sum of its parts through the work of everyone here, the work of the people. And so among other things, you can see why it's important that the congregation participates in the liturgy. It's something that we as the body of Christ do together. So it's not just something that we receive passively. It's the work of the people. We do it together. And the Eucharist is a sacrament. United Methodist recognized two sacraments, baptism and communion. And it's like, I think of a sacrament as what they call a sign act, which is to say it has words and actions and a physical element to it. And it is something that both expresses and conveys the love of God. It's the sacraments make God's love both visible and effective. You might say it's kind of God's show and tell. That communicating with us in ways that we, in our humanness, can receive and experience God's grace. And it's been said that the Eucharist is the entrance of the church into the joy of its Lord. I like that. You know, we don't think about it maybe that way, but into the joy. It's our entrance into the joy of the Lord. And the liturgy of the Eucharist, I think it's best understood as a journey. It's a procession. It's symbolically, it's the journey of the church, of the body of Christ, into what one author called the dimension of the kingdom. Actually moving into experiencing the kingdom. And what I'd like to do this morning is to actually walk us through the liturgy, to walk through the liturgy with you with some brief comments on each part to flesh out some of the deeper significance and meaning of it, much like we did last week with the Lord's Prayer. Looking at what is it that we're praying? What is it? What are the What is this procession that we're walking through in our worship? So you'll find your hymnals in your pews. Turn to page 6, right at the beginning. You'll notice that this is listed as Word and Table 1, which tells you that there are probably other. In fact, there are, if you go the next few pages, there are 4 services of Word and Table in the hymnal over the next 29 pages or so. We're not going to go through them all. And there's also musical parts to some of these that we will not be using, but just to give you a heads up on that. But you see here that the Great Thanksgiving is included within the overall liturgy, the Eucharistic liturgy. And you notice that the table portion, which is communion, follows the word, which is scripture and reflecting on scripture, like what we're doing now, sermon. But the table part begins actually at the bottom of page 7 with an invitation, which comes, you see, after our concerns and prayers, which is our joys and concerns. And you might notice that the invitation is from Christ. And then from that, we move into following the invitation, we confess our sins and receive pardon, which is at the top of page 8, which is to say we get clear with God. And then we get clear with our neighbors by exchanging the peace of Christ, which is a key element of the liturgy because it's the expression of the love of Christ. Now, when we get to this part, we will do it, but because we've really just done our big welcome and our greeting and passing of the peace, I'll ask that you just turn to one person, the person right next to you. Peace of Christ be with you and also with you. So that we'll practice it, but we won't really move about in that, okay? And then from there, you see that then comes the offering. Now, the offering is when we give to God ourselves. We give to God the totality of our lives. We give to God the world in which we live. And our gifts, including the bread and the wine, reflect this giving. Now, worship is often described as a sacrifice. And if you want to see a sacrifice or participate, you can think of the offering as your sacrifice. You're giving to God what is God's. You're giving back to God what is already God's, what God has given to us. And then you see that we get to the prayer of thanksgiving itself at the top of page 9. Now you notice that the whole prayer of great thanksgiving is addressed to God. And it's prayed by the whole people, and it's led by the presiding minister or the celebrant. And there are the prayer is shaped by our Trinitarian understanding of God. And it has 5 parts to it, which we'll see here. We're going to walk through them, and it begins with an opening dialogue. Now, there's a few lines here, which I think often, if you're like me, we just kind of read through and think it's all just one little piece, but this dialogue actually does several different things. It begins with a greeting between the celebrant and the congregation in which we invite the Lord to be with each one of us and to bless us as we gather at the Lord's table. The Lord, Jesus Christ, be with you and also with you. And then the next exchange directs the preparation of our hearts. Yeah? We give our hearts and minds in attention and love to God. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. And then the final exchange in this dialogue, it's important because it's a reminder that this thanksgiving is offered by the celebrant, but it's not just the celebrants alone, but it's offered by the entire congregation. And when you think about it, this really is the only possible response to the divine invitation which we have just received to live and to receive abundant life. Let us thank God. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks to God. That's the dialogue then. And this leads us to the second section of the prayer just below that, which is addresses God with thanksgiving. And here, you see, we are remembering God's acts of salvation throughout history. We remember especially God's work of creation. You formed us in your image. You breathed life into us. We remember God's covenant and steadfast love when humanity has been unfaithful. We remember the deliverance from captivity and exile and God's care for us through the words of the prophets. And now we notice here that this section and the section where we remember Jesus, different words can be said at different times of the year, depending on the theme. Like on Christmas, you might remember the Jesus being born in the stable. At Lent, his temptation in the wilderness. And see, it's just a footnote. It's not the specific words as such. It's not the specific words as such which are important, but it's the movement. It's the remembering, the representing, which carries us forward to partake of the gift. And we're using this because I didn't want to print up 3 or 4 pages on the paper and have them printed up there with some different wording. So that different times you'll see that there's different words here. And so again, it's the parts, the pieces that we're including here, which are significant. And so after giving thanks to God, then this section closes out with the congregation's spoken or sung response in what's called the Sanctus. And that's the bold. The bold is the congregation's lines. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. What's interesting here is that this brief song of praise, it draws on two things, on the angel's song around the throne of God, which is reported in Isaiah 6. And it also draws on the processional greeting that was from Psalm 18 with the crowd that greets Jesus' entry on Palm Sunday. And so our song here praises, our song, it joins the praise of the angels and the crowds, heaven and earth. Now I'm rushing through this. We will be reading through this for communion, but just to give you the points here. So indeed, this Sanctus, it's really one of the secret of all existence, really. Heaven and earth are full of your glory, God. If you had to say one thing, that's heaven and earth are full of your glory. Which then leads us to the third section of the prayer, in which we turn our entire attention to the specific work and ministry of Jesus. Now this remembrance is the fullness of it, as it were, of our thanksgiving just expressed in the Sanctus above that. This flow, it naturally leads here. What are we thankful for? Well, the content of our remembrance and our thanksgiving is Christ himself, which then we remember. And as we remember, we are making it present to us. We step into it, as it were, and we remember the good news of release, of liberty, of healing preached by Jesus. And then this leads us into what we call the words of institution, or the institution narrative at the top of page 10. Now this is Christ's offering for us. For you see, what we offered earlier with our offering of ourselves and our life and the world is now given back to us as the gift of new life. Therefore, necessarily as food. This is my body, this is my blood. Take and eat and drink. As with the kids, we remember through the meal. And having remembered God's mighty acts in Jesus and Christ's offering for us, then we join ourselves to Christ, you see? And we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving in the middle of page 10 there. In remembrance of these your mighty acts, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving. And then this is concluded, this section, with a brief congregational acclamation in which we confess our faith and hope as Christian people. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Which then leads us right into inviting the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit to come upon the bread and the juice, the cup, as well as to come upon the community gathered together at the Lord's table. And then joined to Christ, joined to one another in God's love and power, we are then given the responsibility to take that good news of God's love back to the whole world. And then the final section is just the last stanza before the Lord's Prayer. And it's a concluding doxology, concluding prayer, song of praise. And it ends the great thanksgiving as we began it, with praise and thanksgiving to God, to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We end the prayer by offering God honor and glory and praise. And there comes Probably one of the most important parts of the prayer, it's the congregation's response with a resounding amen. It's not just a word you say here. You see, this is a rather momentous part of the prayer of the Great Thanksgiving, because by this you affirm that what has been prayed in your name is indeed your prayer. It's the congregation's way of saying, yes, this is our prayer. And then the great Eucharistic prayer is summed up by the Lord's Prayer. Yeah? Each petition of which, as we got a glimpse last week, implies the total and complete dedication to God's kingdom in the world. And then, now that we are ready to receive the gift, we partake together of the bread and the cup, we sing another song, and then we close with the last commandment of the liturgy. On page 11, sending forth, go forth in peace. See, the time has come at the end then for us to return into the world. For we can't stay on the Mount of Tabor, as it were, where Jesus experienced his transfiguration. Although we know it's a great place, and it's always wonderful to hang out there, to be there, we're still sent back. We're sent back out into the world. But now, you see, we have seen the true light. We have partaken of the Holy Spirit. And it is, therefore, as witnesses of this light, as witnesses of the Spirit, that we must go forth and begin the never-ending mission of the church, of the body of Christ, of which we have just remade ourselves anew. The work of the people, the liturgy. And we go out remade into the world, carrying the love with us. So there we are.